This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. Losing a loved one in death can turn our world upside down. Jesus understands the pain we experience at such a time, and he has a deep love for those who grieve. Stay with us as we learn what Jesus said to comfort someone who was brokenhearted and how his words can be the difference between death and life.
We're going to discuss something today that's a matter of life and death for every one of us. So I hope you'll stay with us. We begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Merciful God, we praise you this day for the resurrection and the life that your Son, Jesus, came to give us. And we thank you for the victory that is every believer's through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. The reading for today is from John chapter 11, beginning at verse 25. Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." "Martha, do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Here ends our reading. Dear friends, let me tell you something about myself. I hate death. I hate it, what it does to the people I love. I hate watching slow deaths and the suffering of those that go through them. I hate quick deaths, that life is snuffed out so quickly and there's no closure for the rest of us. I hate to see what it does to the loved ones left behind. I hate death. God hates death. You know, it was never intended. It was brought about by humanity's sinfulness. It was never a part of God's plan. Jesus hated death. Because you see, death is the enemy. And Jesus came into this world to overcome it. I've also found as a pastor over these years that people don't like to think or talk about death too much. Death does a real number on our heads as human beings. Sometimes it's almost rather amusing how we try to avoid it or soften it. I came across a story about a South Carolina funeral home that was planning to open what it called a coffee corner, stocked with Starbucks coffee, and offer Wi-Fi as well as a fireplace and a television. The funeral home's owner says that he hopes it will help mourners get their minds off what's going on. A news magazine in the community called The Week welcomed people to submit a name for this novel little cafe. Honorable mention awards included The Grim Roaster, or another one was Perk-a-Tory. The top winners, second place was Still Above Grounds Cafe, and first place was Time to Meet Your Mocha. We don't like thinking about death too much. Makes us rather uncomfortable. It sets off an inner storm within, causing us to ask questions perhaps of what's to become of me, or if it's someone else, how am I going to get by without this person? It literally can stop our world when it hits our family. There's a story like that today in John's Gospel that we have before us where we see how it was doing a real number on a couple of people named Mary and Martha in John chapter 11. And their friends that had come to grieve with them from the surrounding area. They were mourning the death of Lazarus, their brother, who was a good friend of Jesus. 4 days earlier, the sisters had sent word to Jesus that Lazarus, his dear friend, was very ill, sick unto death. But Jesus didn't come right away. He told the disciples he had his reasons. He said, "This is for the glory of God." And after stalling a bit, he finally said to the disciples, "Now it's time to go." They tried to talk him out of it because they said, "Last time, Lord, you went to this area, they tried to stone you to death." Jesus said, "No, I must go and be with my friend Lazarus, who's asleep." And they didn't understand him and said, "Well, can't somebody else wake him up?" And he said, "No, you don't get it. My friend Lazarus has died, and I must go and be with him." So they went with him. Now, when he got near the house where Mary and Martha were grieving with all the community that had come out to grieve with them, the body was already in the tomb for 4 days. Word got to Martha and Mary that Jesus had come. Martha went running out the door to Jesus and got right in his face and said, "Lord, if only you'd have gotten here, our brother would still be alive. But even after that, I know you can do something." Jesus said to her, "Martha, Lazarus will rise again." She said, "Well, of course, I know that. On the last day, he'll rise. But right now, I'm hurting, you know. This hurts. I've lost this beloved brother of mine." And Jesus said, "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And those who live and believe in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" And Martha, lo and behold, said, "Yes, I believe, Lord. I believe you're the Messiah, the Son of God, sent from God." So she went running back to the house, got Mary. Mary came running out to Jesus and fell at his feet. Isn't it interesting? Mary's always at Jesus' feet in the stories. And she weeps. And she says, "Lord, if only you'd been here, my brother would still be alive." And when Jesus saw the painful weeping of her and the friends that all gathered, followed her out to Jesus, he became very agitated and upset emotionally himself. And it says he wept. Some people that were watching and observing this said, "See how he loved that Lazarus, that Jesus." And others said, "Well, he healed a blind man a few days ago who was a complete stranger. Why didn't he help his friend Lazarus?" At that point, Jesus spoke up. He said, "Take me to where you've laid him." So they all went to the spot. Lazarus had been laid in a cave immediately after he died, probably, because they did that back in those days. The bodies otherwise would deteriorate quickly. When Jesus got there, he walked up to the tomb, and he said to Martha and Mary and the others, "Take away the stone." And Martha immediately jumped in and said, "Lord, he's been dead 4 days. He's going to stink." Jesus said, "Didn't I tell you, you're going to see glory?" He said, "Move the stone." So somebody in the crowd pushed the stone aside. And Jesus looked up towards the heavens and began to pray. He said, "Father, I thank you for hearing my prayer." I kind of wonder if he'd been praying, "Lord, preserve Lazarus." Yeah. And now that he opens that, the stone's over, open, the cave is open, there's no stink coming from it. I don't know. But Jesus went on to pray, "Father, I pray this prayer not for myself so much, but for those who are listening in, all these witnesses. It's for their benefit. Amen." And then he turned, faced, called into the cave, "Lazarus, come out!" And there was a rustling deep within, from within the cave. And people held their breath. This could be an embarrassing moment for Jesus. Lo and behold, though, they gasped. There was Lazarus standing before them alive. The grave cloth still around his face and his whole body. And Jesus said, "Get that stuff off of him. Let him go." Now, Jesus uses this amazing miracle occasion to teach us about himself. You see, the Lazarus story is referred to in John 12 as one of Jesus' signs. There were 7 signs in the Gospel of John, and each sign was given as a way of revealing the truth about Jesus, who he is and what he can do in someone's life. This sign reveals this truth about Jesus. Our verse I read for you. Jesus said, "I'm the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. Those who live and believe in me shall never die." Jesus is Mr. Resurrection. He has more power than you can believe. He has power even over death. In that encounter that day, he teaches us, I am the resurrection and the life. I'm a life giver. I overcome death. Someday, every one of us are going to breathe our last breath in this world. But the good news is, for those who believe in Mr. Resurrection, Jesus, death is not the last word over us, but life is, eternal life, with him in his heaven. Lyman Coleman is a small group guru of sorts that got the great small group movement going in the church many years ago. He lost his wife a few years ago, and in this letter he writes, "The most painful decision of my life was asking God to take Margaret home. She had been suffering from repeated brain seizures and her body was wasted. I whispered in her ear, honey, I told you, I love you. I love you. Jesus wants you to come home. We're going to be all right. We give you permission to let go." She closed her eyes and fell asleep. As I write this letter, Coleman says, "I realize I'm without my editor anymore. My greatest critic, my teammate, my soulmate, my prayer mate, partner in everything. We traveled the roads less traveled together in hard times and good times. Honey, I miss you, I miss you, I miss you. I will keep the light on for the kids. I'll be there for our friends. And one day, we are going to join you where you are, all of us, because Jesus promised it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Jesus is Mr. Resurrection. He gives eternal life. Though we die, yet shall we live. Jesus also calls himself life, Mr. Life. He resurrects dead lives in the here and now, people that are walking around with dried up souls, and breathes new life into them. Scripture tells us in Ephesians that we were dead in our sins, but Christ came into this world to make us alive again with his forgiveness, as he would bring his new life into us. Those of us who are spiritually dead can live again. The prodigal son story has the father saying at the end, when the son returns home to be with the father, "You were dead, but now you're alive again." Jesus came to give us a new life in the here and the now. A story that comes to mind when I think about this is one I read a long time ago about a basketball player named Pistol Pete Maravich. He was a great ball player. He grew up training hard. Basketball was life and the rest was details in his mind. He'd go to bed with a basketball in hand with him, dribbling on the floor and shooting it towards the ceiling. He'd ride his bike and dribble the ball. He'd ride in the family car and his dad let him hang out the window so he could dribble alongside the car as it moved along. He would go to the movie theater even and insist on sitting on the aisle with his basketball and practicing his dribbling. He was an amazing ball handler. All that practice paid off. He was recruited by Louisiana State and became an all-time scoring record breaker in the NCAA. 44.5 points per game was his average for his career. Eventually, he was drafted into the NBA, continued his impressive playing, and he was selected 2 times to the NBA All-Star game and was the youngest man ever elected to the Hall of Fame after 10 years of play. When he retired from professional basketball in 1980, Pete's lifelong training program and his pursuit of victory was now over. And suddenly, he had needed some other reason for which to live. He kind of lost his sense of purpose. And after experimenting with astrology and astronomy and mysticism and nutrition and UFOs and sex and liquid drugs and material things, he finally met Jesus Christ. And that relationship with Jesus proved to be more than just another obsession. It became the foundation of a totally new life and gave him a sense of purpose that even basketball never provided. Now the drive and dedication that he'd given the game, now he gave to the Lord. He ran basketball clinics and camps and instructional videos, always sharing his testimony about Jesus while teaching kids about basketball. A book came out about him called Heir to a Dream sometime later, and he was about to go be interviewed on radio with Dr. James Dobson on Focus on the Family. And a few minutes before he was to go in for the recording, he had had a conversation with Dobson, telling him how great he felt. But seconds later, he collapsed on the floor and died, face to face now with the Lord who had meant so much to him during those final years of his life. He'd gotten this new life. Now he had eternal life. One person he touched in his final days was radio talk show host Larry King, who was recuperating from bypass surgery. The day before Pete Maravich died, King received a Bible from him. Written inside the Bible was a letter from Pete Maravich. "Dear Larry, I'm glad to hear that everything went well with your surgery. I want you to know that God was watching over you every minute, and even though I know you question that, I also know that one day it will be revealed to you. My prayer is that you remain open, and God will touch your life as he has mine. Once I was a disbeliever. When I could not fill my life with basketball, I would simply substitute sex and liquid drugs or material things to feed my internal shell-like appearance. I was never satisfied, Larry. I have finally realized after 40 years that Jesus Christ is in me. He will reveal his truth to you, Larry, because Christ lives." That's what Jesus came to be. To the Pistol Petes of the world, like you and me, to give us new life, living in a relationship with him. He said, Jesus said to Martha that day, "I'm the resurrection life. Martha, do you believe this?" It's aimed at us. Do you believe this? It's an appeal. Believe in me. Believe in me. When we think about believing in Jesus, it's more than simply an intellectual sort of assent. It's entrusting your life to his care, following him. The story is told about a great tightrope walker that was going to push a wheelbarrow across a tightrope across Niagara Falls. It was a windy day, and the crowd was telling him, "Don't attempt this, you're not going to make it." Someone from the back, though, said, "I believe you can do it," made his way towards the front and said, "Go ahead, do it. I know you can do it." The guy said, the tightrope walker said, "You really believe I can do it?" The man said, "I do. I believe in you." And then he said, "Good. Then get in the wheelbarrow and come with me." And that's what Jesus is appealing to you and to me today to do, to get in the wheelbarrow and come with him, to believe in Mr. Resurrection and life. I know that life has a way sometimes of beating us up and causing us to be fearful and have doubts within as believers. This story was saved in order that you might continue to believe, that you might be built up and encouraged again. Believe in Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life. And for those of you who have not experienced his presence in your life yet, it's a call to give yourself over to Jesus Christ because he's the life giver. This is a matter of life and death for you. Come to Jesus. Believe in him. Mr. Resurrection and Mr. Life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the resurrection and the life, Jesus Christ. Help us to trust and hang on to those precious promises he's given us. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has helped you to have the assurance that Jesus Christ is our Redeemer and King who gives us life eternal with him. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choosing and all others who need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. If you would like to receive a copy of today's program on CD or print, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. You may also write to us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613, or visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Gifts of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs are always appreciated. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was our speaker, the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.